The Dawn Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
I'll show you if you show me. So sometimes they have photos from other victims that they're going to use to entice that child then to send. Almost a catfishing kind of scam.
Once the scammer has a picture, they flip the switch on the young person, demanding money or gift cards in exchange for not sending it to people on their contact lists, their classmates, or parents. And they've connected 20 suicides to sextortion scams nationwide.
It's not just a single actor. You're looking at organizations. You're looking at people that this is their sole source of income.
According to FBI statistics, here in the Philadelphia area, there were 14 reports of sextortion in 2021, 110 reports in 2022, and 130 last year. Victims are typically teenage boys.
And so it was this story, and recently the story of a teenage boy in the suburbs who stepped in front of a train, took his own life because he was being targeted by predators, actually, who are not from this nation, not from this country, and didn't know what to do, stepped in, took his own life. And I was talking to my sons about this. This is a thing. It's real. Sextortion. What are our local officials doing about it? Well, I saw recently that Bucks County, they have assembled quite a team in the battle against crimes like this, victimizing and targeting teenagers. And in particular, District Attorney Jen Shorn there in Bucks County. But joining me now, Kristen McElroy, who has led this, Chief Deputy DA there. So tell me a little bit. Hi, Kristen. Thanks for being here. And tell me a little bit about the commitment that you have. Obviously, you lead the Special Victims Division there, I know, as the Chief ADA. But tell me what you're doing here to get the word out, even for parents to talk to their teenage kids about this.
So, well, starters, thank you for having me, Dawn. And yes, we definitely take these type of cyber crimes very seriously in Bucks County. We have a couple of our county detectives who, you know, work throughout the county who investigate these cyber tips. And fortunately, we have a great amount of buy-in with a lot of the local police departments who have designated detectives who handle and work on these cases and sort of, you know, do the work to A, track down these victims and make sure that they're getting services. And if we are able to prosecute these cases.
Yeah, I read the most recent one I read just in our area, and I believe it was Lansdale in Montgomery County. But in that one, the parents were speaking out. Do you find that a lot of times parents don't even after their kid has, you know, tragically taken his own life, they don't want to talk about it. They don't want to publicize it. And I feel as a mom of boys, and I'm going to tell you, Kristen, my poor sons, you know, because I'm a newswoman, right? Mm-hmm. So I went there I tell them this stuff since they were like middle schoolers. I'm like, guys, if somebody approaches you on this, first of all, don't put your junk out there. But if you do, I've seen it all. Dad and I, we've seen it all. Mm-hmm. God forbid. I mean, I think that you have to have these blunt conversations to A, tell them that you can talk to us as your parents, number one. Number two, there are these sicko weirdo predators out there. You think you're talking to a teen girl, they're going to trick you, and they're two dudes somewhere in the Emirates or Africa or wherever.
I completely agree, and I think it's great advice that you're giving. You know, this affects all types of kids. It's not, I think there could be a thought or a stigma that it's maybe kids that have a little bit more troubled backgrounds, but it really is spans the gamut. And so I think those open communication of parents to kids, like you should assume your children know more about the apps and the internet than you do. And so it is really the communication and the relationship you have with your kids of making sure that they know they are not in trouble. Well, again, I agree with your starter advice of don't put it out there on the internet, but people make mistakes. Kids make mistakes. They can't always see the sort of the long-term effects of that. And if it happens to them, don't be afraid to let an adult know that this happened. This, you know, maybe lapse in judgment of doing that doesn't have to end everything. And I think, you know, some kids can't get out of that moment when they realize they made a mistake, did that, are so afraid of not appearing to be like, you know, a quote unquote good kid, afraid of disappointing their parents. And then they don't let an adult know that this is happening to them and they're being exploited.
And then what about as far as convicting people? It looks to me, Kristen, like it's oftentimes in these types of sextortion cases, it looks like a lot of times the predators are not even here in this country. Or are they?
That is definitely a trend that we're seeing of a lot of sort of international predators who were sort of targeting kids and doing their research. Like, they'll find out information about, you know, based on what, you know, what the child is sharing. Like, they sort of do some background on them. You know, we in Bucks County have a really great relationship with our federal partners in HSI and the FBI, and we do pass along that information. You know, the reality is our extraditing is not something that's should be the expectation, but we at least are letting our federal partners be aware who have some of those more international contacts. And while I do agree a lot of these do trace back internationally, we have seen cases, you know, and recently there was an arrest in Bucks County on the Wills matter where it was a man in the United States who was exploiting children throughout the country.
Yeah. Yeah. And as far as that goes, can you take me through a little bit of that case? So in this case, and I know Jen Shorn had done the news conference on it. I've been reporting on it. And so this is a middle-aged guy locally, but then goes to, I guess he fled, went to Maryland and was extradited and so on. But posing, so take us through what happens here. First of all, they're posing as a peer of somebody. And that's what the kids think. That's how they sort of draw them in.
Exactly. So this male, Mark Wills, was presenting himself as a teenage boy. So when he's speaking to these girls, they at least believe they're talking to an age-appropriate person who's having these sort of sexual conversations with them. They, you know, at his direction, are sharing images and videos of themselves, you know, in sexually explicit positions. And unbeknownst to them, he's a man who's in his 60s and is recording it and sort of keeping these images and in some cases of sharing those images. So again, like these girls thought they were talking to someone who was their age and it was actually an adult male.
So in this case, has he been, I was trying to look it up because I know it was around like a week ago. Has he been officially extradited?
He has. He landed in Bucks County Monday or Tuesday of this week. So he is now in the custody of the Bucks County Correctional Facility awaiting his preliminary hearing. It's tentatively scheduled for next week, although subject to be moved.
So in this kind of case, you know, and I'm always careful about allegations and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. So in this case, this individual is charged with basically manufacturing and then giving out, you know, this child exploitation material. But in my personal humble background of, you know, my experience of news reporting, this does not just suddenly happen to somebody who's a person in their 60s. So then how do you, if you believe that, in other words, there may be past victims, or is there more to this as opposed to something that was just online? How do you go about that, and are you watching for that? Are there other victims of this, which happened over the airwaves? Is there any evidence leading to you to believe that maybe there was a contact, a physical contact?
So that is always the concern in these cases when either people are, you know, possessing, trading, and certainly in the manufacture of the child sexual abuse material. Could there be a contact offense, or has there been? So what we have been doing right now, the investigation is still ongoing, is sort of identifying these young girls and then having them forensically interviewed locally, wherever they're living, just to see if anything did happen either with, you know, this defendant or with someone else in their life that could have possibly victimized them.
And I know that Jen Shorn had talked about this, that what was revealing, and we hear, you know, this is what happens. There's always a pattern, right? So, so you have different victims from all different municipalities. They all tell the same kind of story. Is that what you have in this case?
It is. This began through various cyber tips. So this is where online platforms report what they believe could be child sexual abuse material, child pornography. And then from there, we sort of run it down to see what we can identify and if we can identify these children. And again, these are unrelated girls, you know, in different parts of the country, but very similar fact pattern of what was happening to them and how they were being victimized.
You know, I will tell you, Kristen, we're continuing the conversation with Kristen McElroy, Chief Deputy District Attorney in Bucks County. This is years ago. I'm going to say 10, 15 years ago, I was out with a crew and still obviously doing television and out with a crew, and they were they had the canines, and they would search for a missing individual. And these guys are telling me kind of, you know, on background, you know, there's something going on with all these kids disappearing, all these little girls and little boys, and they're disappearing, and there's something more to this. And that was the first time that this issue of maybe human trafficking was real to me, that that's what they were suggesting. And we weren't really reporting on it as such. Obviously, now that whole situation has exploded in this area. In other words, we used to report on runaways, bad kids, kids who got involved in something. Maybe they were in foster care and they were runaways. Now we know much more about this. How prevalent of an issue is this issue? This, when we talk about human trafficking and this issue, I know you're, I believe, more on the adult side of it, but I imagine many of those adults, probably something happened to them that when they were kids. It doesn't happen in a vacuum. Can you take me through what you're looking at in the suburbs of Bucks County?
Yeah, I think it's a great correlation when you were just talking about runaway kids and the human trafficking and exploitation. You know, kids have to be running away from a bad situation. Mm-hmm. And when you're a kid, you don't have a place to go. And so that is why they are just so vulnerable to these predators who can offer them even just basic needs of shelter, food, if they have an addiction issue, helping to support their addiction. And they are just so susceptible. So yes, you know, unfortunately, human trafficking is everywhere. I think people think of it as, you know, something that doesn't maybe happen as much in this country or happens more in urban areas, but really it is happening in the suburbs out here in Bucks County. And it is something that we unfortunately do have to investigate and look into these cases. They can be, you know, really challenging to prosecute, but, and they don't always take the face of, I think, what Hollywood makes human trafficking think of. I think most people, when you hear human trafficking, the first thing you think of is that movie Taken, you know, and like kind of these kidnapping, and really it's much more of like a grooming process for kids who are vulnerable or not having their needs met in their family situation or personal life, and can fall prey to this.
And then drugs are used as well, right? So that's all
absolutely
a piece of it. And then when you talk about AI, and now another issue that's coming up is AI that creates images of kids performing things. How much does that play a part in fueling, I'll just say, some of the psychos, some of the creepazoids, and then how do you deal with that and navigate?
Yeah. So I'm so glad that Pennsylvania recently added the AI manufactured or generated child pornography to be a crime, where in the past was not, you know, on the books as something that is illegal. So I think it was a great step, and I'm glad that we have that now in Pennsylvania to criminalize that, of making it. You know, there's just so much, you know, misinformation on the internet, and but you know, if you are using a child's face in these AI generated images, it, what that does to them on a really personal level is so damaging and horrible. And so I am glad that our legislator looked into that and has made that something that can be criminally punished.
Kristen, what do you want people to know as far as what makes your job more difficult in today's? We have a lot of technology, right? So on the good side of this, we have more technology, and I think more awareness than we've ever had. But on the other hand, what do you see as, I'll take it this way, a benefit, but also what do you see as a blockade within your job in trying to keep people safe in the community and prevent these kinds of sextortion or human trafficking, all of these, you know, things that you're battling?
So, you know, again, like what technology has done for us, you know, is incredible. And our ability to get information, you know, at the snap of a finger, is, the benefits are immense. However, you know, the drawbacks are children are being victimized in their own homes, and this could be a very safe home. But when they're alone in their room, on their phones, using social media, there's, you know, there's great things about that level of communication, but there's a lot of major drawbacks on how predators are able to find kids, make them feel comfortable. And again, if you have a kid who thinks, oh, I've been taught about this, but like, I'm immune because, you know, I'm a good student and I am an athlete and I do, you know, I am social. I have friends. Anyone is susceptible to this, and it is hard for parents to keep up. And so I think almost to your starting point of that communication with kids is so key and important, of making sure that you are checking in with your kids, what's going on at school, what's going on the phones, having that open app policy of I can look at your phone at any time, because, you know, obviously there are like parental guardrails you can put on, but kids are smart and they know how to get to the sites that they want to get to. And it's just, they're just being exposed to too much, you know, on the internet. And it's hard.
Kristen McElroy, I hope that you come back and we can continue the conversation. I think a lot of this is awareness. And I've talked about the fact that I have a family member in a different state and their daughter was groomed by a coach, and that coach is still in prison right now.
Good.
It blasted apart their family, and it was a devastating situation. I never want to see that, and it's why it's important to me to interview people like yourself. I know that you're actually an award-winning individual. You've dedicated your life to this, Kristen. We really appreciate you. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Happy to be here, Dawn. Thank you.
Dawn Stensland from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.